Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
First impressions versus the truth. That's where we are in politics in America today. We've always been taught that first impressions are everything. We were also taught the truth matters above all else. Well, we're being tested as a society. Every time the Dems gin up something that doesn't sound even real, like moving an all-star game over a voter ID law, we sort of laugh it off. But the first impression has been made. Republicans are racist. Then, over the course of days, the truth comes out, and we learn things like providing the last four of your Social Security number is enough under this law, or providing a utility bill invoice, or a canceled check. So the question is, what wins? The outrageous, false first impression, or the truth? I've got some numbers for you. Missouri voters hit the polls this week on a number of issues, and they voted yes to almost everything that costs money, including the Kansas City, Missouri earnings tax. This won easily in a landslide. Why do we think government can spend our money better than us citizens? In sports, KU Athletics is in a big transition period. We'll talk a little bit about the new athletic director, Travis Goff, and why Bill Self would lose an assistant coach to Chris Beard and who the replacement should be. Are you a fan of rock music? A great rocker was the guy beating the Cleveland Indians drum at the Royals game on Monday. I'll fill you in on the story why he was there. I'm rooting for Rory McIlroy to win the Masters, but he's not my prediction. He always stinks on Thursday and shoots his way out of the tournament. I'll tell you who I think's going to win and why. And did you know the new KCI will have an airplane simulator? You got to hear the reason why. It's actually kind of funny. We are brought to you today, as always, by Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. Elite Automation and our friends designing and installing intelligent building automation systems that can save you thousands off your utility bills, perfect for schools, churches, office buildings, warehouses. What is your building costing you? If you buy the system, let them retrofit your HVAC system and put in a new control system, you get all your money back within a couple of years' time, and then you just save thousands every month. They also do consulting as well. Elite Energy does consulting where you don't buy anything. They just come in and consult with you on how to save money. When you do, you share your savings with them. You want to find out more? Call Elite Automation at 913-766-2188 online at eliteautomate.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. We are professional grade at GMC. They just make it easy. It's real simple. Every customer that goes there says, Roberts Robinson, we just make it easy. And that includes me because I ordered a new car. I had it built just the way I want it. It's going to be in a couple of months. And it's going to be great to have a new ride. I've put a lot of miles on my older car, and I'm ready for a new one. I'm ready to have something that I know is going to be great and reliable and a terrific experience. And at Roberts Robinson, it doesn't really even matter about the inventory or the location. They'll just get online with you on the phone, and you can build whatever you're looking for, whether it's a new Silverado pickup or you're looking for a Sierra Denali, whatever you're looking for. They can just build it exactly the way you want it. They'll show you what their invoice price is. They'll cut under that and save you money. It's very competitive. You will not buy your car for less than anywhere at Roberts Robinson. You won't. You won't beat their price. And they'll build you exactly what you want to have built. Give them a call at Roberts Robinson or check them out online. Shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com with Chevrolet. Find new roads. And bstock.net, the 20s got to go. The 21s are coming in. It's real simple. If you're looking for a new TV, they're not taking a make offer, lower offer on the lower end TVs. Like they've got a 50-inch Samsung TU7000 for $249. It's a great TV. You're not going to get it for lower than that. But if you get in the mid-range and the upper end range of Samsungs or the TVs they have at bstock.net right now, you can go online on the website, B as in boy, bstock.net. There's a function called make offer. You'll see prices that are already lower than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. Then you can make an offer a little bit less than that if you'd like to. Give it a shot. And you can pick it up or have it shipped to you. They're at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's bstock.net. All right, what wins? That all-important first impression or the actual truth? We break that down right now on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Our theme today is just getting people to pay attention to things going on around them. If we do that each in our own individual way in our daily lives and teach others or work with others close to us to do the same thing, it'll make a real difference in what has been brought to light over the last few days in what I thought initially was a joke last week. When we heard the head of the players union in Major League Baseball talking about moving the All-Star game and then Joe Biden going on ESPN and saying, well, I'd kind of be up for that. We all just thought it was grandstanding, strange stuff about a voter ID law that is not only a harmless law and a good law, but certainly not as difficult or restrictive as voter ID laws in many other states, as we're now learning. But the first word that got out versus the actual truth and information is kind of where we are in America today. And the Democrats are very good at getting out in front of manufactured stories, things that just don't exist, that are not real, and turning them into something that is believable by many people, gullible people or low-information voters or people that don't pay attention to much, and they just buy it. They just buy it hook, line, and sinker. The latest is Shannon Sharp on Fox Sports, who I actually get a kick out of watching him and Skip Bayless. I enjoy that show. A lot of people hate it. I don't hate it. They're giving sports takes and stuff. I kind of like it. When Shannon Sharp is on there saying that he's proud of, you know, the Democrats for moving the All-Star game out of Georgia, I just see him as a low information guy. I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I don't think he knows the demographic difference between Atlanta and Denver. I don't think he knows the economic impact on black businesses in Atlanta. I think he's, you know, cutting off his nose despite his face, I guess is the old saying that we use. And so we get all these people that hear this immediate information on these big stories or stories that become big. Again, I'm guilty as charged here. I thought the whole thing was a ruse. I just thought it was a joke when I first heard it. And it's turned into this major national story that's been going on for a week now. But there is a great silver lining to this story. And we talked about this a lot on the podcast yesterday. And that is it's backfiring on the Democrats. And the reason that it's backfiring is there are plenty of people in America that will bypass what we consider to be the mainstream media or the bigger outlets, the ones that maybe we see more often than others, and they're finding some of this information out. A lot of this is happening with younger people through social media and memes and jokes and whatnot, and there's a lot of jokes out there running around the internet right now about how white Colorado is and how white Denver is, and it's little things like that that are not really necessarily the facts. It's not, hey, it's this percentage of people or this percentage of black businesses or the things that we talked about on this podcast yesterday, but of a 32-year-old who spends a lot of time on their phones, knows of this story and starts to see all these jokes and memes of and comedy, to be quite honest, of black people in Atlanta complaining that you're going to, you know, Lily White, Denver, Colorado with your All-Star game. It's just a bad look. Now, maybe it's a shame that we can't look at the actual facts of a story like this and have people, more people understand exactly that there's nothing wrong with the voter ID law. And I'll start with this in Georgia. I did not know this yesterday when I did the podcast. I've done more research on this Georgia voter ID law. This is unbelievable. This is what they're claiming racism about. I'm going to give you a couple of forms other than an ID because, you know, we did the patron podcast yesterday with Danny Klinkscale. If you're a patron of KKHI, you heard him say, look, and I think it's insulting and racist, by the way. I'll just say it. I think it's racist to say black people are too dumb or too poor to have an ID. I think that's ridiculous. And I've pointed out many times that every single American citizen has a Social Security number. Right? Anybody that's eligible to vote has a Social Security number. You're born with it in this country. If you naturalize and become a citizen, like I always like to point to Salvador Perez, he has one too. When you become a citizen, you get one. Boom, done. Here's your social. You're an American citizen. You have a Social Security number. Done. End of conversation. In the Georgia law, and I did not know this while doing the podcast yesterday, and I think it needs to be right up front, you can use the last four digits of your Social Security number as your voter ID. All you have to do is match your name, your address, and jot down the last four of your social. That's it for an absentee ballot. That's it. Or you can use any bill, any utility bill, a power bill. You can include a power bill with your absentee ballot. Your address matches. You make your votes and your selections. You sign it. You include your power bill. This is where I live. This is who I am. Your name, your address, your power bill, any utility, your water bill, any of those things can be used. Another thing that can be used is a check from your checkbook proves who you are, or any check you received can be used that has your address on it. If you're employed, for example, and you have a paycheck or a pay stub, good enough. That's your ID. This is absolute insanity that there's some sort of national conversation about a voter ID law in Georgia. They're asking the golfers at the Masters about it. Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy says, look, I'm not a citizen, but I believe in everybody's right to vote. And then he said, I'm not a citizen, but I live in America because it's the greatest country on earth. This guy's from Ireland. And says, I live here because it's the greatest country on earth. And maybe he'll become a citizen. Maybe he won't. At this point, he doesn't really have to be. He gets all the benefits of living here. Doesn't take, participate in the process. But these guys at the Masters are being asked about this thing. And they're all, to a man, saying the same thing. We believe in everybody's right to vote, and we love America. We're not into the politics of the bill and whatever. I said to my wife yesterday, we're watching Rory. I said, or maybe it was Phil. They asked Phil about it. I said, how do you think I'd answer that question if I were a golfer at the Masters? I think it would be awesome to hand every golfer at the Masters, maybe Augusta National should have done this, if you're asked about the voter ID law, understand that the last four digits of your Social Security number is good enough. You don't have to produce an ID. You just have to fill out the four boxes of the last four of your social, and they have to match your name and your address. That's it. That's it. No photo, no driver's license, no passport, nothing like that. No, just the last four of your social. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I didn't know that until last night. Last four of your social is good. We get asked that all the time, right? You call somebody, you're working with somebody about whatever. I bought some furniture or something the other day. Your account, what's the last four of your social? You call your bank, you call anybody on the phone. What's the last four of your social? We all know that. We've been asked that 100 times, right? That's it. That's your voter ID or a utility bill. Or presumably, I'll say it, a Social Security check, a welfare check, any assistance from the government that comes. If you're low income, if that's who we're concerned about, low income, any benefit they get from the federal government is proof of ID. Any of that stuff. They have your name, your address, and they mail it to you. Social Security check comes in the mail, or they deposit into your account, and you have a bank statement with your home address of where you live. We're proving that John Doe lives in the state of Georgia at this address, and this is the last four of his social, or this is his bank account, or this is his Social Security check that he gets every month. That's it. We just want to prove who you are. This is outrageous that this is even a story. And so the Democrats are really good at ginning things up and making up stories and getting people to talk about them. And the silver lining here is the difference between a first impression. First impressions matter. First impressions through the political history of the television era since the Kennedy-Nixon debate of 1960. Let's just say that. I've studied this a lot. We studied it in college, for crying out loud. I'm in media, so I feel like I have a wealth of knowledge on this topic. Previous to that, I can't say that this existed, okay? I don't know prior to 1960 if this was as big a deal. I know radio was huge. Radio dresses were huge. The way that candidates would speak on the radio was important. So it's similar, but what we learned was from the Kennedy-Nixon debate was that the first impression of people as they look at you or hear what you're saying is everything. It's truly everything, right? I'm hopeful that we're getting to a place now where the onion gets peeled beyond that outer layer and we get down to the middle and get down to the nitty-gritty and people find out what's going on. And I think in this case, that is happening. Here's the reason why that's happening in this case. We have a new voter ID poll. This is from Tuesday. A new voter ID poll says 75% of Americans say yes, you should have to identify yourself and prove who you are to vote. 19% say no. Well, Americans don't agree on anything with that proportion. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Was it great that America won World War II? I'm not sure you'd get 75%. I think you'd get more than 19% of the people that would answer the question no, because their basic stance would be we should have never been in a war. Right? So getting 75% of the people to say yes and 19% no is remarkable. Truly remarkable. That's where America is on a voter ID poll. So that's why they lie. That's why they come out initially on the story, try to get out front, and they lie about things like you can't have a drink of water while you're in line. It's racist. It has this problem and that. The polls close at 5 o'clock. These are all lies. These are all lies to make you believe that voter ID laws are mean, evil, Republican scum. It's not working. A new poll out yesterday says 50% of Americans oppose boycotting anything in Georgia because of the voter ID law. This is an American poll, not a Georgia poll. 50% oppose what's going on. 37% support. That's a pretty remarkable number. That's a big win of people saying, we're sick of things getting canceled. We understand they're not doing anything wrong in Georgia. You know, we may not like voter ID laws because Democrats may not get elected, but we understand why you should have to identify yourself to vote. And I about fell out of my chair when I found out just providing the last four of your Social Security number is good enough in Georgia. Just telling it to them, providing it, putting it on the piece of paper and signing your name, that's who I am, is enough. It's crazy. They're not requiring your driver's license. Last four of your social is good. A utility bill is good. A canceled check is good. Any of these things is good. A canceled check means if you are so poor and so destitute that you receive something from the federal government, they know who you are, and that's good enough. You get to vote too. So I think as I read this thing, is nobody's affected. That there is not a single person in Georgia that can't produce some sort of an identification to vote. Doesn't exist. We simply want to make sure that the people who say they are voting is who they are. We want a fair, honest election. That's it. Everybody gets to vote. I don't even understand the outrage on the left. I know what they're doing. They want to win elections. And they know that you know, not being able to submit fraudulent votes or ballot harvesting or filling out votes for other people, by not being able to do that, they're going to lose more elections. That's what this is about. That's all this is about. And I think the American people know this. I think we see this in these numbers. And it's amazing because Biden bellied right up with Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball, who they must know as a committed liberal. He's a lawyer. I must be Ivy League or something. They must know him now as a committed liberal, or they wouldn't have come up with this ruse last week. And again, I can't overstate this. I thought the whole thing was a joke. I thought it was just a complete and utter joke. And yet they went with it, and then we saw what happened, and it worked for them. They got to make a big stink out of Georgia's racist and Republicans are racist, and you know that's their only playbook. That's the only thing they have. Then Biden gets asked about the Masters tournament. The Masters tournament is on. And what is Biden's response to that? Quote, it's up to the Masters, unquote. It's up to the Masters. That's not what you said to baseball. You said you think the baseball players are leading the way and they should make a statement and that this should happen. And then you worked the phone lines and you called the corporations and you got people on board and you got your boycott of the All-Star game in Georgia and you're not even trying at Augusta National. Why are you not trying at Augusta National? They're not even trying to move the Masters out of Georgia. Why is the Biden administration, why, if this is their thing in Georgia, why are they not? This is Augusta, Georgia now. This is better. They can get away with this. This is a much smaller town. You lose some economic stuff in Augusta, which is not economically very good anyway. This is not, Augusta, Georgia is not a great place, okay? Augusta National is. Augusta, Georgia is not. There's a lot of places in the South a lot better than Augusta, Georgia. If you lost something out of Augusta, Georgia, you really haven't hurt yourself. You lose something out of Atlanta, and I'm sorry, your voters are looking around going, what did you just do to us? What did you take away from us? Why did you do this, Biden? What are you doing? But not in Augusta, but why isn't he touching the Masters? Why are they just saying, oh, that's up to them? Why is that up to them? Well, it's up to them because you have no chance of canceling the Masters. None. They will circle back. Circle back, Jen, and the rest of them will circle back at some point. They're going to try very hard to change the name of this tournament, the Masters. They will try very hard and say that just conjures up the plantation slave owner, the master of the plantation, and all this other stuff. And there was a time and place where the word master was used a lot more than it is now. Master craftsman, we've heard that. If you're a master at anything, it means you're great at it. That's what I, when I think of master, that's what I think of. I don't think of my master. Okay, I think of somebody who's great at something. And that's what golf is. That's the way Bobby Jones set the thing up, the Masters of Golf. We're the ones who've mastered the game. We're the best in the world. It is an open tournament. It's unaffiliated. It's not with the PGA Tour. It is not with the PGA of America. It is not with the RNA in Scotland. It is our tournament. Bobby Jones built the course. The lawyer from Atlanta was the best player in the world. He was an amateur player. He did not want to be a professional golfer. He did not want to travel the world. He wanted to live in Georgia and live his life. And he built the golf course and he invited all the best players from all over the world to come and see if they could beat him. That's what he did. And it became the Masters Tournament. And they will try to change the name of this. It's coming. I mean, there's no question that that's going to happen at some point, that they're going to go after it. And I don't know what they'll do. Augusta National has changed a lot. They have become far more progressive than they were 20 or 30 years ago and changed their membership and their makeup and things. Rob Manfred is a member there. Well, they can't be very happy with Rob Manfred. He's drawn negative attention to the club and negative attention and negative impact to the state. I'd boot his ass out right now. If I was Augusta National, Rob Manfred would be out. I'd say, here's our response to your move in our state and what you just did to us. Here's our response. You're out of the club. Goodbye. We'll find somebody else. So I do think people are learning this stuff in this case, and maybe that's the era we live in. And I know we all complain about social media and big tech and online and all the misinformation and things that are out there, but perhaps as we see these poll numbers that this is backfiring on the Democrats so much, maybe we've all got it wrong. Maybe we're living in an era where people actually can find out the truth about what's going on in America. Things like the game, I saw this at Breitbart. The game has moved to Coors Field, which is named after Joseph Coors. This is unbelievable. They left Georgia for a voter ID law. This is one that everybody needs to hear. And I mean, we need to spread this to everyone that wants to hear it. They took it away because of a voter ID law in Georgia and put it at Coors Field. Joseph Coors basically is a founder of the Heritage Foundation. He is a Reagan and Goldwater supporter, or was. He's deceased now. And in the early 2000s was one of America's biggest challengers of the Voter Rights Act. You can't make it up. Every single day on this podcast, you can't make it up. They moved the game to a stadium who's named after a guy who challenged the Voter Rights Act of 2003. This is unbelievable. I mean, hey, listen, there were things in that Voters' Rights Act that were bad and needed to be challenged. And he spent millions of dollars over the years challenging things like that, supporting Reagan, supporting Goldwater, and as an initial founder and supporter of the Heritage Foundation, which is a giant conservative think tank, Joseph Coors. He moved it to a stadium named after a guy that actively worked against a Voters' Rights Act. People got to know this stuff. This Rob Manfred, I'm telling you, he should be fired. He should be fired for drawing all this attention to baseball, unwanted attention. It's just absurd. And subjecting players to being asked about it. These players don't want to talk about this stuff. The season just started. They want to play baseball. They don't want to be asked about it. Maybe one guy on every team does. You know, maybe there's one guy that's really far left that would like to blast Georgia, and one guy that's really far right that would love to step up and say this is ridiculous, although those guys will get canceled. They know they can't speak. The conservatives can't speak in front of the media, in front of the TV cameras. It is such a sad, sorry situation in America. It is so bad that there is no free speech on the right, or people feel that they're absolutely going to be canceled if they speak up and that they can't speak out. What an absolute shame. But Joe Biden is not going to challenge the Masters to move out of Georgia, because he knows that dog won't hunt, as they say in pine tree country in Georgia. I've been in some places where they say that a lot. My daughter went to the University of Georgia. Very familiar with that state. And And Joe Biden is not going to challenge Augusta National. But the good news is people get it. 75% of Americans want you to identify who you are to vote. And 50% to 37% oppose this boycott. They think it's wrong that the thing is moving over this. And again, the last four digits of your Social Security number is your identification in Georgia on your absentee ballot. That's it. Just provide us with the last four. Write them down in the box, mail your ballot in, you're good to go. That's it. That's all we need to know. We just need to know it's you and that you're responsible for this ballot, that somebody else didn't pick it up, fill it out, and send it in. That's all we're asking. All we're asking is that it is you. You are who you say you are, and you're voting. That's it. It's no more complicated than that. Amazing story. Absolutely amazing. All right, let's talk. We had elections in Missouri, local elections in Missouri this week. The Kansas City, Missouri earnings tax passed. Again, we talk about these numbers. This is just shocking to me. I used to work in Kansas City, Missouri, and pay that 1% tax. I don't understand it other than it's a crutch for the local government, for City Hall. It's just a crutch. Where the money's going to go is ridiculous. These cities are all now taking money away from the police and giving it to social workers. So I assume that's where this money will be headed in Kansas City, Missouri. The earnings tax passed 77 to 23%. Kansas City, Missouri residents decided to take 1% away from themselves again. I mean, there's no other way to say it than this. If you voted yes and you work in Kansas City, Missouri, you just said, I'm going to give up 1% of what I make this year because the government can spend it better than me. That's what you've said. Now, there are people in Kansas City, Missouri that recognize that a lot of the folks they're taxing are from Johnson County or Lee's Summit or places outside Kansas City, Missouri. So a lot of cities do this sort of thing because they know that a lot of that is there. But you would think that there's enough people in Kansas City, Missouri that work in Kansas City, Missouri that would say, wait a second, I don't want to give up my 1%. Otherwise, what you're saying is, I've never understood this. You can spend this money more wisely than me. You're better at this than me. Listen, you take my money, government, and you spend it because I don't know what to do with it. That's basically what people say. When they vote for tax increases, that's what you say. You say, you're better at this. You take the money, you figure it out, and you make everything good in the world. I mean, it's just unbelievable that people do this by numbers like this, 77 to 23 in Kansas City, Missouri, the earnings tax. I don't know why, but they were really worried about it this time, that it wasn't going to pass. Now, they've got a budget shortfall. Shocking. The underlying problem here, when these things get voted up and they pass, is the people are saying, here's more money. Don't worry about spending it wisely. Don't worry about making a budget work. Don't worry about finding a better way. We'll just keep throwing money at our problem. Kansas City, Missouri is notorious for this, especially their schools. They just throw more and more money at the schools, and the schools never get better. The problem is they keep getting more money. It comes from the federal government. It comes from the state of Missouri. Everybody likes to throw money at school districts that suck. So here's money, here's money, here's money. Well, if you just keep throwing money at it, the people on the ground that are working aren't going to fix anything. They're not going to lead in the way necessary to make things right, because money just gets thrown at it, and we'll fix it with new computers. We'll get the kids new computers. We'll get this stuff. We'll buy that. We'll fix the auditorium. We'll get a new gym floor, and our school will be great. Well, no, that stuff doesn't fix the school. The problems in the classroom, problems with, you know, recruiting and retaining the best teachers possible, right? It starts at the grade school level with bringing to the high school level smarter kids when they get there because they've been in better grade schools and junior highs. We know how it works. We all love our good school districts. I've always been in favor of living in a good school district and voting yes if the school district says we need more money, we need an eighth of a cent, whatever. I've always voted yes. I've never voted no. But COVID may change that for me. The school districts and the educators have played their hand to me. I've now seen what they're about, and I'm going to be very skeptical when they ask for more money. I'm going to ask why. Why are we doing this? Why? I hope there's more people like me that begin to ask, okay, because I don't vote for tax increases. I don't. But I have with schools, because I learned at a very young age that if your schools are good, and I move into a system, a district where the schools are good, and I help keep the schools good, that my property value goes up. So there's been, not only do I want my kids in good public schools, but I wanted my property value to hold. And these things are tied very closely together. But now I'm not so sure. I think it's almost like they're too big to fail. We have some districts in Kansas City, districts in the Northland, Lee's Summit, Blue Springs, Blue Valley. Some of these districts are, the schools are so good, the public school districts are so good, they're almost too big to fail. They ask for money, and the parents always vote yes and give more money. We have amazing facilities, and I'm not complaining about that. But it does bother me that the Blue Valley School District on Tuesday night had a school board meeting, and one concerned parent came to the meeting and refused to wear a mask, as is his right at this point. There's no mandate in Kansas. As is his right, and they ended the meeting because they couldn't do anything about the guy. They couldn't kick him out, right? There's nothing they could do to him, and he knew it. And he went to the meeting and wasn't wearing a mask, and they asked him, if you don't leave, we're going to cancel the meeting. They canceled the meeting over the guy. And this is the people running your education system. This is an award-winning school district. These people are crazy. In Olathe, parents are challenging the school district and saying, our kids are getting headaches and they're not learning well wearing masks in the classroom. We want them to be able to take them off. We know the science. These kids aren't getting sick. This is stupid. And Olathe's response to the parents was, you can opt out and stay at home and do it virtually. Again, crazy. Let's dump the masks. We saw the Rangers game. They had 40,000 people in the stands without masks. It's over. Stop clinging to COVID. It's over. I'm going to start challenging it everywhere I go. I am. I'm just going to not wear my mask until somebody tells me to put it on. And that's really what we need to do. And I'll comply. If I go into private business and they say, please put it on, I will. But I think at this point, we need to do a 180. Instead of automatically wearing it, if you don't want to wear it, you've had COVID, you've been vaccinated, whatever, I think we don't wear them, but be compliant. If somebody says, please put that on, I'll put it on. I think that's a reasonable policy for now, not for going forward. At some point in the future, we'll choose and not choose which businesses to support based on the way they do this. We've learned that only 35% of Americans are somewhat worried about getting COVID now. About a third of the people in America now, down from 80% or whatever it was, about a third of the people in this country, according to a Gallup poll this week, are somewhat or more worried about getting COVID. That number is just going to drop, because more vaccinations, more people have had it. It's just going down. And that's a good thing. So hopefully we'll get there and the school districts will come around. But we sat here and watched everything get voted yes yesterday. Taxes in Grandview, questions 1 and 2. Yes. Both of them passed. School districts, Independence, Osage, Lawson, Platte County, Archie, Belton, Raypeck, you name it. Yes, across the board. More money for all of them. Missourians voted yes to more taxes yesterday. They spoke loud and clear at the local level that, doggone it, I really don't need as much money as I have. You can spend it better for me. It's always amazing to me that people think government. Yeah, I would say this about coaches, and I've said it in sports, and a lot of people in the sports media business disagreed with me on this. Most fans are distant from the team. Okay, they see them on TV, they go to a game, whatever. And we have this belief, we look at salaries of people. We always look at salaries of people and think, oh, yeah, they're really good. Yeah, all right. Like we look at the CEO of Delta. He must be brilliant. Well, maybe not. You know, they're losing money, and he's losing customers now because of his big fat mouth. But he makes millions of dollars, so we just assume he's really smart, right? Maybe not. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, we just assume he's really smart. Well, doesn't look like it right now, does it? So sometimes people you think are really smart get exposed and you realize they're not. But I've always said this about managers, coaches, whatever, in big-time sports, it's very difficult to predict when you hire them whether they're going to be good or not. And it really doesn't have to do as much with intelligence as you may think. They don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. There's a management style, a personality characteristic that we see in a lot of the great coaches in different sports. We see that, and I'm always amazed at how many really dumb people get hired to these jobs. Just bad, flat out bad, dumb people that are not suited for that position. I gotta be careful. I shouldn't say dumb. Okay, not suited to be the CEO, the leader, the boss, the head of it. Like you may be, like Gunther Cunningham was a good football coach, but he was not a good head coach. Was never going to be a good head coach. He was not suited to that. He was much better suited to being a position coach. He was pretty good as a defensive coordinator, but was much better suited to just being a position coach. These are my guys. I'm going to coach you every day. They're going to love him. He's going to challenge you, and that's what he does. But he's not the boss man. You know what I mean? So we see that a lot. And we sort of see that in the same way with these elections. I think people vote yes, assuming that the people in charge are smarter than they are. That, oh, the people running the school district know more than me, so I'll just vote yes and give them more money because I don't need my money. Here, I'll give you some more money. Here you go, Kansas City, Missouri. Here's 1% of what I make. Take it. You know better to do with it than I do. We got to stop thinking like that, folks. That's not the way the world works. It's, in fact, it's increasingly the opposite because our best people are not going into leadership positions. Why would you? Why would you want to run a school district or be a politician at this point? Why would you want to do that? It does not recruit or attract the best people, the smartest people, the best leaders. It doesn't. Private business does. But we just saw a whole bunch of elections yesterday in Missouri where there was a whole lot of yes voting going on. Whole lot of yes. Take more money. Take more money. Sure, take it. You know what to do with it. I don't. Maybe you could have kept your money and got your kids some braces or Invisalign from Fry Orthodontics. Might have been a good investment. Dr. Jeremy called me last week and said, we're starting something new, Kev. I want you to spread the word. We're going to do free retainers for life at Fry Ortho, and we're going to do Invisalign for the same price as braces. You just won't find that anywhere else. You won't find it anywhere else. There's 12 locations near you. This will save you thousands over time. It will. If you ever had a kid with braces, you know they lose their retainers. Yeah, they do. And every time they lose one, it costs you $300 or more, up to $500 depending on the retainer. Right now, it's free retainers for life at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Always nice to have something with a little sparkle for mom on Mother's Day. Whether she's your mom or the mother of your children, consider a nice little Mother's Day gift from Joslyn's Jewelry. Jewelry you recommend to your friends and family. Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing, available 24/7 for emergencies. They work with all types of different manufacturers of products. So any type of roof you'd like to put on your commercial building or residential building, Ron Buck can do. And it goes across the spectrum of prices as well. Whether you want to do it on a budget or you want the fanciest, most first-class roof anywhere in Kansas City, Ron Buck and his team of professional installers will treat your property like it's their own. Call 384-2680 and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And CBDGC.com. That's CBD-GC.com. Stacy Higgins at Green Compass CBD offers USDA organic, no or tiny traces of THC in all of their products. They grow their own. There is no middleman. These are the best products anywhere in America for calming and focus or to reduce pain and inflammation. Topical creams, roll-ons, you name it, they've got them. There's also a work-at-home program with Green Compass CBD. If you'd like to make a little side money, do what Stacy does and sell the best products in CBD. It's a big, booming business that's only going to get bigger. If you'd like to get on the ground floor, call Stacy Higgins at 913-961-3881 or check it out at cbd-gc.com. All right, let's talk a little Kansas athletics. It's been a big week. They hired an athletic director, Travis Goff, who was an assistant at Northwestern in the athletic department. They're paying him less than half of what Jeff Long previous made. He has signed a contract that has some new language that I think is a little dangerous. So the last AD signed a contract that gave him millions of dollars in bonuses if KU went on probation. This AD, to get hired, had to sign a contract that says, this scares the living daylights out of me for him. He had to sign a deal that he's never had any previous sexual harassment claims or whatever, and this is important, or that he was ever, quote, accused, unquote, of anything wrong. Well, my goodness, what is accused? Could you sign that? I know he did. I know it's a big job. I know you trust the people you're going to work for. I know he's making a lot of money. He's making $700,000 a year. But seriously, could you sign something that says, I've never been accused of anything in the past? How do you know? I mean, Deshaun Watson didn't have any accusers 6 months ago, and now he's got 22. If he just signed a new contract that said, I've never had accusers, and then they start coming out of the woodworks, does that count? I mean, it's a serious question. And maybe this is a men's rights issue or just a men's issue. Accusing is no standard for anything in this country. It is not. Joe Biden accuses us of being racist for having ID laws. That's accusing is nothing. Accusing is the right to lie. It looks like a standard in the contract that someone has the right to lie against Travis Goff and get him fired. Now, we know why this came up, because everything's a reaction at Kansas. It's so sad. And this is Doug Girard, the president, the chancellor. He's not good, folks, at this. He's not good at this. Again, he may be fine with the, you know, KU has a medical school and all that stuff, and he's a surgeon. He may be great at that, which is far more important than athletics. When it comes to athletics, this guy, this chancellor's awful. I mean, he's just awful. The Board of Regents should seriously be looking at him too. I know that the AD is gone. The football coach is gone. Bill Self's about to go on probation. His program's going to be on probation. He's going to get suspended at the very least. And the chancellor is writing for the new AD that in the contract that the chancellor has final approval of any contracts the AD goes to sign. So if the AD goes to hire anybody with a contract of more than $500,000, that's a coach, essentially. If he goes to hire a coach, he has to go visit the chancellor and get approval. It's written in the contract. And this is a one-sided deal for Doug Girard. This basically says the chancellor is in charge. And I don't think that's very good at Kansas, because that chancellor's been in charge over there for a long time, and nothing good has happened. There's been nothing good happen since Doug Girard took over. Nothing. Really, nothing good. I know that he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, because they just keep fighting legally the NCAA. And this isn't the same old NCAA. This outside committee is going to be making the determination on this thing, the special cases unit. It's a different deal. And I think it's not going to be good for Kansas. And this AD will inherit that and navigate him through it. Look, that being said, on the surface, Travis Goff looks like a much better hire than the last couple, I think, or looks like he should do better than the last couple. We'll see. Jeff Long was a disaster. Shane Zinger had a little bit of pedigree. He'd been an AD at a smaller school and had some success. Looked like it would be okay, but it was very quickly upon, you know, landing in the job that he wasn't really particularly suited to being the AD at the University of Kansas. Travis Goff went to KU. He's from Dodge City. He's been at Northwestern. He's a smart guy. He's well thought of. It's a school-friendly contract that he signed, and he was willing to do that. He's obviously wanting to play the long game here and be the athletic director at Kansas for a long time. He's willing to sit through some really tough times, because having Kansas basketball on probation and you're the AD is going to suck. All right, fundraising is going to be hard. Selling tickets is going to be hard. A lot of stuff's going to be really hard. It's going to be hard for Travis Goff. And he's clearly said, I'm young enough. I'll wait this out. I'll sit here with Bill Self. I'll collect my paycheck. I'll do my best. We'll get to the other side of this probation. And when we do, then we'll kick some butt and take some names. This is a long-term hire. I think Kansas is hopeful this is a long-term guy that is willing to come in here because he loves his school. He's qualified for the job to do the job during the bad years. That says a lot about a man. It does. It says a lot to me. I've got no issues at all with KU hiring Travis Goff. I think on the surface, it looks like absolutely the right thing to do. I have no issues with him signing a contract worth half what Jeff Long's was. The only issue I have is the two things in the contract are if you ever are accused of something from the past. That's very dangerous to put in a legal document that someone can accuse you of something and you're fired. Also, that the chancellor gets final approval, basically, of any contracts. But it's his first job. I think I'd probably agree to that. You're going to bounce it off the chancellor anyway. I don't know what their relationship is or will be. Maybe Doug Girard is the problem. Maybe he's the issue. Maybe he's the reason all hell's breaking loose over there. And we'll see if that rubs off on Goff or not. But these are going to be lean years at Kansas. It was borne out yesterday. We saw Kansas assistant basketball coach Jarence Howard has left Bill Self's program and is going to coach at the University of Texas with Chris Beard. This is what coaches do when they know probation is coming. This is what they do. You don't leave Bill Self and Kansas for Chris Beard in Texas. You don't. You don't make that move. There's only one reason you make that move. You make that move because trouble's coming, and you know it, and you don't want any part of it. And Chris Beard is an assistant on the rise. I'm sorry. Jarence Howard is an assistant on the rise, and he knows Texas is in no trouble, and Chris Beard's an excellent coach, and he's going to go coach there and pad his resume and keep rising. Jarence Howard basically said, I think Texas the next few years is going to be a lot better than Kansas. That's what he said in leaving. That's what he says. Jeremy Case takes over in that role for now, not permanently. Jeremy Case has been the video coordinator. Bill Self will not commit to Jeremy Case permanently taking that position, but he wants to get him on the court and see how he coaches. Maybe he'll replace Jarence Howard. Maybe he won't. On an interim basis, he is right now. I hear a lot of people calling for Danny Manning to be added to the staff. A lot of people calling for Danny Manning. And it would make sense, and here's why. Danny Manning's been a head coach. Danny Manning's been with Bill Self at Kansas. Danny Manning is Mr. KU. Danny Manning is here, lives here. He's back. He's here. Danny Manning is a logical choice to add to the staff. Here's why. When Bill Self gets suspended, and he will, they're going to need an interim head coach. Somebody's going to have to coach the team while Self can't. That would be Danny Manning. This is very logical. If, in Kansas' biggest fear, is that Bill Self is going to go to the NBA, if the punishment is really severe, Kansas believes there's a chance Bill Self will leave and go to the NBA. If that happened, Danny Manning is there to take over. He's in position. And to be honest, if Bill Self leaves, it is like 99% Kansas needs to hire an African-American coach. To be honest about it, they do. They're an exceedingly liberal university that is outward about all things social justice, Black Lives Matter, all of these issues. Clearly, the majority of the basketball players in their program have been African-American, and they've never had a Black coach. It's time. It's time to start checking the box. Danny Manning would be the perfect candidate. He's been a head coach before. He knows Kansas inside and out. Everybody loves him. If it didn't work out in 3 years, you could always fire him. No hard feelings. You're still up in the rafters. You're our guy, right? I think it's inherent on Bill Self to bring Danny Manning in now. Get him there, if for nothing else, for your suspension. Bill Self may coach there 15 more years. Not saying Danny Manning's going to be taking over. I'm just saying he would be there if Bill Self left. And it would be a no-brainer. Be an absolute no-brainer for Kansas to move Danny Manning in. It's what North Carolina's doing. Hubert Davis, the assistant coach. Roy's gone. Hubert Davis in. North Carolina guy in. Well, this is your guy. Bring him in now. Put him on the staff. Because the suspension's coming for Bill Self. And when he does, somebody's got to be the head coach. And to me, that would be Danny Manning. At least he's got head coaching experience. So a lot of moving parts at Kansas. This story will only get bigger over the next few months. No doubt about it. A couple of baseball notes. On opening day Monday in Cleveland, the Royals beat the Indians. But you may not have noticed that John Adams was not there, and you may be asking, who is John Adams? Not the founding father, right? Every game since 1973, John Adams has been at the Cleveland Indians games. Every single game since 1973, he sat in the outfield and he beat that war drum. Right? You know the drum in Cleveland? He beat that drum. Every game since 1973. John Adams had triple bypass surgery and couldn't make opening day. He is still alive and hopes to get back. So they had a guest sit in for him to bang the drum, and this was a great call. The Black Keys are a rock band. They're a good rock band. Gold on the Ceiling is an excellent song that I wanted to use as my theme song for Kevin Keatsman Has Issues because I don't pay the royalties and the rights fees. I can't use it for that as my theme song. So I don't, but if you want to go listen to Gold on the Ceiling, you'll know the song that I wanted to use as the open for Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Black Keys are a fun band. They were a big deal 10 years ago. They've sort of faded. They had four or five really big songs in a very short period of time. They're from Ohio, and their drummer, his name is Patrick Carney, and he's a great drummer. And they asked Patrick Carney to come out and hit that drum all day while the Royals and the Indians were playing on opening day. I think that's kind of cool. They brought in a celebrity drummer, Patrick Carney. I don't know what they'll do going forward, but we'll find out as the series continues. That's pretty neat. You want to check it out? Gold on the Ceiling is one of my favorite songs by Black Keys. Hopefully John Adams is healthy and he'll be back banging that drum for Cleveland, which are going to be what? The Naps? Is that what they're saying? They're going to be the Naps. They're going to rename their team the Naps maybe after Nap LaJoy. We'll see what happens with the Cleveland Indians. This is the last year of them being the Indians for sure. My buddy Cato, his favorite team other than the Royals, and it's arguable at times because he's just somehow fallen in love with the Oakland A's and the way they played, you know, Moneyball and all these things, the way they play. He likes their organization. He just likes a lot of stuff about the Oakland A's. I texted him this morning. I said, dude, your A's are off to an 0-6 start. The A's are 0-6. This is like one of the best run organizations in baseball. They don't have a place to play, but it's one of the best run organizations in baseball. They're 0-6. Now, they had the Dodgers in their second series, but they've been outscored 50-13. And Cato's immediate response was, watch what they do. You know, Cato loves doers. My buddy Cato just loves people who do stuff. He doesn't like anybody who sits on their hand. He goes, oh, they won't take this long. There'll be a big trade. They're going to bring guys up from the minors. They won't stand for this. You watch what the A's do. So he's already predicting a shuffle and a turnaround by the Oakland A's. We'll keep an eye on that. Almost every year he's right, and the A's are good, and they make you proud if you're a fan that you know, they play hard and play smart and all those things. But, man, who would have seen the A's starting 0-6? Rough go. Impossible, almost impossible to predict a winner for a major golf tournament, but I'm going to give you my pick. Well, first of all, the player I want to win it is Rory McIlroy. I like Rory McIlroy, and he's not won the Masters, and he'd complete the career Grand Slam if he does it. And I think almost the Masters needs Rory as much as Rory needs the Masters. I think that Champions Dinner needs a player of Rory McIlroy's caliber. We've seen some guys like Danny Willett sneak in and win this thing, which is great. Good for him. That was the Spieth meltdown year, right? So we've seen that happen. That's fine. And there are nothing but great names that have won the Masters. But almost every, like all the really great players, somehow found a way to win the Masters. I don't know that I will ever look at Rory right by winning the other three majors if he hasn't won the Masters. So I root for Rory. He shoots his way out of this thing in the first round every year. Every time they play, it's Thursday that gets him. Like he shot over par on Thursday in November and then finished, I think, fifth or sixth. He ran way up the board. His last 3 days, maybe the best player in the field. I mean, he's good, and this game is suited to that golf course. But he needs to go do it. My prediction to win is going to be Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is right in the prime of his career. He's played in six Masters, and this is a crazy stat. Each Masters he's played, he's finished higher. That's crazy. So he started 6 years ago, and he finished like 40-something. He's gone up each time. In November, he finished fourth. So I'm just going to go with that and say seven straight Masters, he's improved his position because he'll win this one. We'll see what happens. I love the Masters. You probably catch me at a Nick and Jake's watching the Masters. It's the only golf tournament that's fun to go out and watch. If you go to one of the Nick and Jake's around Kansas City, let them know you heard about it here. You guys know this because I used to do it on the radio. They're the only place that plays golf live. It's a golfy kind of place. Started in the Overland Park when I go to the Shawnee when it's close to my house. But Nick and Jake's is awesome. They turn the sound up. People are into golf. They watch. It's dramatic. It's fun to watch with other people, to watch a golf tournament with other people. Nick and Jake's does that. They're really the only place in Kansas City that does that and caters to that. If you go to one of them, tell them you heard about it on my podcast, will you? Appreciate that. Or spread the word while you're there, because those people are the people that hang out at Nick and Jake's and watch golf are right in the core audience of this podcast. I should be going to all the Nick and Jake's this weekend and just passing out my cards. That's what I should be doing. Hey, listen to the podcast. Couple of absurd notes here to finish with. A TV reality show apparently is on the way where the winner of the competition, I don't know what network, I don't know what the competition is. All I know is it's called Space Hero, It's in development, and the winner of the reality show will get to go to space for free. You get to go to space on SpaceX or one of these, whatever people want to go to space. I don't want to go to space. Man, I know a lot of people that really do, and I don't, but that's cool. TV reality show, Space Hero, coming. If you're interested, go online, find a way to sign up and compete. You could get a free trip to space. Or you could just sit in an airplane simulator for free by going to KCI. Did you know that our new airport is going to have an airplane simulator? Now, why would you take all this tax money and build an airport? I love it. I think we need a new airport in the terminal. I'm all on board with it. I don't like where they built it. I think they should have built it on the south end of all the runways down there on 152 Highway, which is essentially about 6 miles closer to where everybody lives, right? I thought they should have put it off 152 on the south end to have access coming off I-29 to the east and 435 to the west. I thought that would have been much better. It saved 10 minutes for everybody. Would have saved 10 minutes for everybody in the city that doesn't live north of the airport, and that's not very many people. It would have saved 10 minutes for everyone. So I think they put it in the wrong place, but it's Kansas City. You can't expect too much out of Kansas City. You just can't. But they're building, we have so much money for this airport, they're building an airplane simulator for people to go sit in before their flight. So before you get jammed into a tiny little cockpit or a tiny little cabin in a tiny little seat, elbow to elbow with people that don't smell very good and they're eating seafood next to you out of a bowl. So before you go do that, you can go practice that. It's fun. You can go sit in a simulator and simulate your elbow-to-elbow smelly experience with the people next to you. It's great. We're building a simulator. Why do you think we're having an airplane simulator at KCI, which I've never heard of? They seem to be really proud of it. Why are they building this? Why do we need an airplane simulator? Oh, it's for frightened passengers or first-time flyers. If you're scared of your flight or you've never flown before, we can go simulate this for you and calm you down. What has happened to us in America? How soft are we going to get? I'm serious. My dog was 4 months old and I took him on an airplane and he didn't get scared. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what was going on. He looked at me and he was giving me this little look, but my dog didn't freak out. You're kidding me? If you can't take flying, you shouldn't fly. You shouldn't. I understand it. Some people just live in chronic fear of everything. But the simulator's not going to help you, is it? I wonder how much that's cost. I'm going to look into this, find out how much it costs. An airplane simulator for frightened or first-time passengers coming to the new KCI, which has reached the halfway mark. That's it for KKHI. You're doing a great job of hitting that follow and subscribe button. Thank you so much. I'd appreciate it if you would share that with your friends as well. Spread the word of the podcast and hit the follow, subscribe, or like button wherever you listen to the podcast. That is absolutely free. You want to hear quite a discussion about the All-Star game? Maybe even an argument? I would describe it as an argument. Or even a beatdown. You could become a patron and hear yesterday's Between the Lines 2.0 because it was raucous between myself and Danny. Become a patron by clicking the patron button at kkhasissues.com. And if you pledge $5 a month or more, you can become a patron and get all the patron podcasts and newsletter each week at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.